All right. Hey, how you doing, Kairos? All right, one more time, like you really got some caffeine. How you doing, Kairos? Now, that's what I'm talking right there. Hey, I am so blessed to be able to be here today. My wife and I are over in Clearwater, so I enjoyed a wonderful drive over this morning, worshiping on the way. And Brent and I had talked a couple of weeks ago, and they asked me if I'd come down and share with you guys, because what you guys are entering into, we've been there, done that multiple times. And so God has blessed us tremendously, and I am just so stoked about what God is going to do in and through Kairos Church. If you believe that, say amen. I'm excited about that. You guys are just doing an amazing job. I'm so proud of you and proud to have been a part of this, not only in prayers, but in financial support. Pastor Garrett, New Walk, and you guys are in our particular nucleus of churches, and we're just so glad of what you guys are doing, and it's just incredible. And I'm going to tell you something. You guys are very blessed to have Pastor Brent and Christine as your leaders. Would you guys give them some love? I'm telling you. Anybody... it's got 8 kids. You better pray double prayers for them. That's all I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? Because they are awesome, and I love them dearly, dearly, dearly. Pray for you guys often, and I'm just so thankful. Because when you think about the vision to plant a church, I remember the vision we were to plant a church. That vision started with me 20 years ago. It's hard to believe. And then Pastor Gary, I was honored to be his church planting coach when he planted, and they launched in October of 06. And it's hard to believe that they have been going. New Walk's been going for 14 years now. And so I'm just so proud of what God is doing here. And so coming into this, the risk it for a biscuit, I'm going to talk to you today about the miracle of more. Say that with me. The miracle of more. Now say it where I can hear you. The miracle of more. Now, let me ask this question right out of the gate. How many of you here, you got a stimulus check in the mail or put into your bank account? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. All over. I want to see your hands. Yes, yes, yes. Wasn't that a miracle? How many of you didn't have to do anything for that money? You know what I'm saying? It's just either put in your account or you got a check in the mail. We didn't get it put into our account because we've been paying in for years because I'm an empty nester. But anyway, when we got that check, I asked my wife, I said, can I have half of that? And she looked at me like I was stupid and said, it is half yours, dummy. No, she didn't say dummy, but, you know, I know she kind of get, you know how when your wife looks at it, just kind of give you that look, you know. But no, you know, so I thought, I don't know what I can do with $600, you know. I'm thinking about my bass boat. I'm thinking about going fishing. I'm thinking about all this stuff, and I'm thinking about me. But the first thing I did was right off the top, brought it to the Lord's house. Because that was some money that I didn't even have to work for. And I thought it's really easy for me to bring tithes and offerings to the Lord. And that's something Shannon and I believed in our whole lives. But maybe you're here and you got the check in the mail, but you had already lost your job. And, man, you're just kind of gripping that thing real tight. And you're thinking, you know what, you don't understand, Pastor. You know, I would bring it, but, you know, I've lost my job. Or maybe you're here and your business is hurting. You're just at the point of closing the doors. You're still in the red. You don't know how it's going to get in the black unless this thing of COVID lets up. Or maybe some of you are like most everybody. Your 401k took a large hit, and you're thinking, you know, we're facing retirement. I don't know what we're going to do. And or maybe you're thinking, you don't understand, Pastor, our bank account's empty and our bills are this deep. Some of you here may be hurting very bad financially, and my heart and prayers for you and for those of 66,000 businesses in the U.S. have closed their doors, and they say it's going to be permanently, and that's sad because of what we're going through. But you might not be going through something financially. It might be something else in your life, but I know there's a lot of times there's a fear to just kind of hang on tight, especially when it comes to finances, and some of you just may need a miracle right now in your life. And I want to say this to you. Wouldn't it be really nice if God would just drop this miracle amount of money down on Kairos Church in order to be able to set this up, this beautiful place for your home? Wouldn't that be amazing? But God's not going to do that. You know why? Because God wants to do a miracle through each of you. Each of us, it's in his church, it's in his kingdom, and that's what God wants to do. He wants to do it through, and that way you have that sense of knowing that you see miracles God does through your life. So there's a word I kind of want to share with you that God has given me in this today, but in the first thing I want to say to you, don't allow fear to keep what you have to inhibit your miracle of more. Now think about that. Don't let the fear to keep what you have and hold on to it really, really tight to inhibit God being able to do the miracle of more, that is through your life. So today when we look at all kinds of miracles, we look at the miracles that Jesus has done. We've seen through the scriptures, if you know a lot about the Bible, you've heard it. We've seen him do so many different miracles in the scriptures, from all the way from, you know, just being able to help the deaf to be able to hear and the mute to be able to speak and be able to help all kinds of different situations. Even when he called Lazarus from the tomb, you know, I'm glad he called Lazarus by his name, because if he hadn't have, they say that scholars say, well, if he just said, come forth, all the graves in the whole world would have bust open. There would have been dead people alive walking everywhere, because that's Jesus. He's a miracle maker. You know, that's what he does. And so today, I want you to think about, in the measure of miracle, that when Jesus does a miracle, Jesus wasn't doing miracles to show off. Jesus was doing miracles to teach principles. And that's what we're going to look at today. And some of you right now, and I'm sitting here talking about miracle, and his miracle word was in the previous song there, but you might be dreaming for a miracle, and you're needing a miracle right in this moment. Maybe it's a financial miracle. Maybe it's a relational miracle. Or maybe it's a physical miracle. Or maybe it's a professional miracle. Whatever it may be. Let me ask this question. I want you to be very honest. How many of you, whatever it may be, could use a miracle in your life today? Would you just raise your hand real high? God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the hands that went up. And God, they're reaching up toward heaven with their hands up. And I pray that you'll pour down on them the miracle that they need in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to jump in today in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And I'm going to begin with verse 34. And here's how the scripture reads. It says, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go by to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. But Jesus said, you feed them. Say that with me. You feed them. That's what Jesus is saying. With what, they asked. We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. Here's a problem that's taking a place right here. It seems like a huge problem to these disciples. There's this huge crowd that's in the desert. They've been listening to Jesus teach all day long. There is no McDonald's. There is no Grubhub. And there is no DoorDash. By the way, how many of you use DoorDash or Grubhub? Raise your hand. Anybody do that? Yes. Somebody, yeah, it's cool. Cool deal. But it's not available. So there's a problem here, and a miracle needs to happen. And so as we dive into this story, it is going to be so applicable for Kairos Church, and it's going to be it's just going to blow your mind. But think about this. There is principles that Jesus is teaching here that we're going to pull out of the scripture. And there's four miracle principles we're going to look at. And the first thing is that you got to admit that you have a need. Now, they had a need there. I mean, here it is, all these many people that's needing something to eat. And it's just like in your life, whether it's something to eat or it's a miracle in your health, God wants to work in your life. But the first thing you do is you got to go to God and say, God, I need your help. See, a lot of times when it comes to our human nature, and because pride begins to seep into our lives, we don't want to admit that we have problems. We want to hide our problems. We want to cover up our problems. We want to act like that we don't have problems. The stepbrother of Jesus said in James, he said, you have not because you ask not. So you've got to admit that you need something. You've got to go to the Lord and ask, or God's just not going to help you. He's wanting to help you and help me in any facet of life that we face. And we're all at times in our life, what we do, we have what I call self-defeating behavior. We procrastinate. We pass the buck. We worry about things that we just absolutely don't even have no control over. Now, what did disciples do? Did you notice what they did? They were procrastinating. It was late in the afternoon, and they were wanting Jesus to basically send the problem away, push the problem away. They were procrastinating. So that's what we end up doing a lot of times when we face things in our lives and problems we have. We want to pass the buck, or we want to do the blame game and blame somebody else for what's taking place. We want to say, it's not my fault. Hey, just send the crowds away. Just get them out of sight, out of mind. It's not our responsibility. That's what the disciples was trying to do. And Jesus is telling them, you know what? It's you that's going to feed them. And no, they're saying, no, tell them to beat it, Jesus. You know, we don't want to deal with them. See, if we, in our personal lives, we worry about our problems continued. Would you agree with that? We find ourselves worrying. And if we spend as much time praying about problems that we have as much as we worried, I promise you, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about in your life. Now, I want to read Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 37 from the Passion Translation. Listen how it says this. It says, but he answered them, talking about Jesus, you give them something to eat. Are you sure, they replied, you really want us to go buy them supper? It would cost a small fortune to feed all these thousands of hungry people. So they're saying it's going to take a fortune to be able to feed this crowd of people. And the disciples were just wondering, how in the world are we going to do this? How's it going to happen? You don't realize, Jesus, there's a bunch of people here. I remember when we first started our church, and we were just a couple of years in, and we set up and we set up the ministry and tear it down in a high school for 4.5 years. And I remember just 2 years into it, I was praying, and I was driving all over our county, and I was looking at all the different places that we could have for church, and I was looking for land. And I found this spot of land at the side of an interstate. The interstate had not went through yet, but I thought, you know, it's going to go through there. Man, that would be a prime location. Wouldn't that be awesome? So what did I do? I went to the county building, and I went in there and found out the guy's name who owned this 16 acres beside where the road was going through. I drove to his house. And I drove up to his house and knocked on his door. And his name was Charles Crawford. I said, Mr. Crawford, I said, told him who I was and told him I was a pastor of Freedom Church and where we met and everything. And I said, is that your land down there? He said, yes, it is. I said, well, I saw that on the county map. I said, we're interested in buying it for our church. And he said, it's not for sale. Basically closed the door in my face. And I thought, he wasn't a mean man. He's just a gruff Tennessee country boy, you know. It's just how they are. And so when I drove out the road, he had this long, narrow driveway. And when I was driving out the driveway, I said, Lord, I know you didn't send me here for nothing. And I know you didn't draw me to come and talk to this man about this land. I said, you got to deal with his attitude. I promise you, that's what I said. Then when I get home, my wife looks at me and says, you mean to tell me that you went up to this man's house that owned 16 acres of land and knocked on his door and asked him to sell it to you? You ain't got no money, Terrell. You know what I looked at her and said? I said, my God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And if it's meant for us to have that 16 acres, it will be for us. And there ain't a thing Mr. Crawford can do about it. We've been sitting on that 16 acres now since 2004. And that's God. Because God produced the miracle of more through our church family to be able to own that land. And that's what God does. God is the miracle way maker. That's what he is. He's the one who produces the miracles that we can see things happen in our life. And God used our church family just like God wants to use Kairos. God says, I'll help you, but you got to ask. You can't focus on the problem that's right in front of you. Instead, you've got to go to the one who can cure the problems. So you got to look at what the need is, but also you got to assess what you have. You say, well, what do you mean? I'm looking at what I don't have. No, assess what you have. It's what I've got. That's all about what I'm using. Am I being a good steward of what I've already possessed in my possession, or am I being frivolous with it? Look at verse 38 in Mark 6. He says, how much bread do you have? He asked. He said, go out and find out. They came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, why did Jesus do this? We all know he could have rained down manna from heaven. He could have dropped off whatever he wanted to in their hands at that moment. But Jesus says, go see what you have and see what you've already got in place. And the second principle when we look at this story, when you need a miracle, is that God always starts with what you already have in your possession. He always starts with what you've got. It takes energy for you to be able to give it to him. He wants you to do that willingly, whether it's money or whether it's time or whether it's about your relationships, it's about your talents or about your gifts. But God says, here's what I've got. You take it and say, God, here, this is what I've got. Let's just do evaluation of what it is. Once again, Jesus said in verse 37, if you back up, he says, you feed them. How would you have liked to have been those disciples? Do you realize how many people's there? People say, well, it's 5,000 people. No. It's 5,000 people, not counting, that's the men. That's not counting the women and children. There was as many as 15 to 20,000 people that were hungry in that moment. And they're saying, with what? You know, they asked. It would take a small fortune to buy all the food for this crowd. So the Lord is the Lord of all impossibilities because it's with him. And this, the Lord, some people like these guys will be thinking, this is not possible. We can't feed this many people. It's not possible humanly. It's not possible financially. It's not even possible practically for us to be able to do that. But it is divinely. And see, when you bring the divine power and you open up the door for God, that's what makes all the difference. So God wants to stretch your faith. God wants to test you in your faith. God wants you to see that he's trustworthy when you begin to step in the realm of the divine relationship you have with him. Now, the same story is in another gospel here. It's in John's gospel, chapter 6. Look what it says in verse 6 here. It says here that he was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. See, Jesus had a plan to feed them, but he wanted to test them. Why don't you do it? He's asking. And he's asking them to be able to do the impossible. And that's where the miracle of more comes in. See, next week is going to be a new week. You're going to start out on Monday, and some of you are probably going to be, and I'm not trying to forecast because I know the scripture tells us there speak life and death in a tongue, but because of how life rolls, there's a good chance some of you are going to have something that's going to hit you. It's going to be a crisis. It's going to be a surprise. You may get a phone call. It may have been an accident. It may be a loved one. It might be someone in the hospital and they've got COVID and they're on a ventilator and you just found out about it. God knows the answer. Grab this. God knows the answer before you ever know the problem. Okay? You might get a pink slip. It may be your child's in trouble, but God knows the answer before you ever know of the problem. It's so important that you realize that. So what you do when you're needing a miracle, whatever it is, that miracle of more, you've got to admit to him you have a need. You've got to bring him whatever you have. And so after you assess what you have, then, get this, you give God whatever you do have. Now, John's gospel tells us that Andrew went out and found a little boy that had a little McDonald's lunch. He had his McFish, and he had his bread, okay? That's what he had. And there was probably, when you think about 15,000 to 20,000 people, when this little boy had these fishes and loaves, okay? In a crowd of 15,000 to 20,000 people, I would say there was probably somebody that had a bigger, better meal, wouldn't you? Think about that. But this young boy right here, he becomes the hero in the story, not because he has the biggest, not because he has the best, but because God knew that he had it, and he brought it to God and said, here is all I've got, Jesus. It's amazing. See, the third principle of this story, when you look at it, is that God uses whatever we give him. Whatever we give him, God wants to use that. Look at the 41st verse in Mark 6. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. So, Jesus prays over this bread. He kept breaking the bread and it kept multiplying. He kept breaking the fish out there and it kept multiplying. It just kept multiplying in this moment. And God uses ordinary things to do extraordinary things. And God uses ordinary people like you and me to do extraordinary miracles. See, this little boy's giving all of a sudden sparked a great miracle. He gave his lunch willingly. He gave it cheerfully and he gave it immediately. He didn't have to talk about it. He wasn't doing it begrudgingly. He wasn't complaining about it. He wasn't resenting about it. He wasn't worrying about it because God loves a cheerful giver. Look at the person next to you and say, God loves a cheerful giver. See, if you give money or you give talent or you give your time or whatever it is and you're doing it begrudgingly, basically according to the scripture and how God teaches, God is saying don't bother. Don't bother. It's not going to do any good. God don't need your money nor your time. He wants your heart. But when he gets your heart, that's when he gets your calendar, he gets your debit card, he gets your check, whatever it is, he gets all of that. And God is wanting to you to understand it's with the right attitude. Listen, if you can't give it with the right attitude, God is basically teaching us not to bother with it. It don't even count. As a pastor, I've discovered in over 2 decades of ministry that the most miserable people are people who feel guilty when they're not generous, and they resent it when they do give. That's just the way they are. When you look at the root word miserable, did you know the root word in miserable is miser? Think about that. When I'm generous with my time, when I'm not generous with my time or my money or my talents or my life or whatever it is, I'm a miser. When I'm being a miserly person, I'm going to be absolutely miserable in my life. How many of you have ever lived with a miserable person before? Raise your hand. How many of you you're sitting beside them now? Don't raise your hand. Just blink at me. Just look straight ahead and blink at me. They're miserable. They're negative. They're hard to get along with. Yeah. I mean, it's just really sad when you live with a miserable person. You know what about Kairos? Kairos has been changing lives now all these years. It's just crazy. It's been, what, 3 years now? 3 years already, and we were dreaming with Brent and Christine about this in the early days and all the things that went on. And the challenge of, and when you get here to this point in time, a lot of times people end up leaving because they're talking, oh, they're talking about money. What are you spending your money on? Bass boats and going to the lake, going to the beautiful lakes you got here, or you want to invest it in something that's going to change lives now and for eternity. That's the difference. That's where we're all at when it comes to these things. So you're being challenged to become mature in your giving to change lives for Jesus. And listen to me, you cannot become like Christ unless you become a giving, generous person, unless you learn the value in kingdom sacrifice. Look what Paul told in his second letter. You know why Paul wrote two letters to the Corinthians? Because they were Christians gone absolutely wild, okay? Listen to the second letter he wrote to them in chapter 8 and verse 7. He says, since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love from us, I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving. See, to become spiritually mature in the Lord, we are to become generous people. And the more generous you are as a church, the more that you can help other people, the more that you can bless the community, the more that you can help the poor people locally and globally and everywhere in between. And the most mature people will always be the most generous people. See, we always benefit from the sacrifice of others. Did you know that? Think about this little boy's lunch. They look at the people that it fed, 15 to 20,000 people, because he's willing to give what he had. It was a miracle of more. You benefit from your parents. You say, well, you don't know my parents. They've never been in my life, whatever. Regardless of what's went on with the circumstances of your parents, when you're living and breathing and sitting here right now, you benefited from a mom and you benefited from a dad, because God has given you life. You benefited from your teachers in school, whether you listened or not. If they helped you to read and they helped you to write and do all those things and helped to value an education that got you a good career opportunity. We value from the sacrifice from the soldiers that we sit here today in this beautiful place and we're able to worship God because somebody's life was spilled on the ground of a war. We need to give God praise. We're not here, but it's just because of us. We need to give God praise for all those that have sacrificed. See, we always, always, always benefit from the sacrifice of other people. You benefit as part of Kairos Church from those that were investing in Kairos Church before you ever knew Kairos Church was even a family. And now as a family, you're getting to sacrifice. And you think about all the stuff that you see and the equipment, different things. You don't realize people paid for those things so you can have church. See, God worked through the core team led by Brent and Christine early on and before there was ever a worship service. And then they launched in a hurricane. You know what? There's people that wanted to throw the towel in on this church. Did you know that? But that's when me and Pastor Gary Baldus, we stepped up and said, no, we're not throwing a towel in on them. There's a vision for this area, and there's a vision for lost people, and nobody's going to throw the towel in on them. So that's where we step in and say, we're going to lift up the arms of our brothers, and we're going to be here for you because God is doing tremendous things. And it is yet to be seen what God is going to do through Kairos Church, because I truly believe the best is yet to come. Would you believe that? I believe it is. I truly believe that it is. There's sacrifice of money and time and talents. So I want to say thanks in advance to all of you here today who's going to give sacrificially like that little boy did, giving his lunch to Jesus. So after I look at the miracle principles in this story and I admit that I have a need and I assess what I have and then I'm willing to give whatever I have to Jesus, then you know what you do? You expect God to multiply. You expect God to multiply. Look at verse 42 and 43. It says here in Mark 6, they all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. Now, what is it that's in your life? Listen to me. What is it that's in your life that you don't have as much of as what you want? Think about it right now. What is it in your life that you don't have as much of what you want right now in this moment? Is it time? Well, then that means you're not giving it to God. Is it money? Well, that means you're not giving it to God. Is it your relationships? It means you're not giving that area to God. See, whatever you totally give to God, he multiplies it and he blesses it in return. Look what it says. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. Could you imagine this little boy going home and all the leftovers, and he runs in and says, "Mama, mama, mama, I gave my lunch to Jesus, and look what I've got left over. We can eat for 2 or 3 weeks, and we don't have to go to Publix." Isn't that amazing? That is awesome, Mom. Look what he did. Look what Jesus did. Look what I got. Think about the 12 disciples. Why was there 12 baskets of bread left over? There's 12 tribes of Israel. There's 12 disciples. A lot of different things we can talk about 12 through the scriptures as numerical value. But these are the guys that were standing there wanting Jesus to send them away. Out of sight, out of mind, not a responsibility. And Jesus, no doubt, I believe, he tells the 12, each of you pick up a basket. Take it home with you. Could you imagine them taking that basket and broken and crying and just looking at it and seeing what their Savior, Jesus, just did? What a miracle spoke to them in their lives of the power of Almighty God right in front of them and watching him multiply that in a miraculous way. See, it was really a far-fetched idea that Jesus could take to them a few fishes and loaves and feed 20,000 people. Let me tell you what it is. It is the principle of sowing and reaping. See, if you give away criticism, you're going to get criticism in return. But if you give away encouragement, you're going to get encouragement in return. You give away time, you're going to get time in return. You give away money, you're going to get money in return. It's not just people say, well, that's just that prosperity gospel. Yeah, I think I'm reading it here. It says you sow, you reap, right? Is that what that is? You can prosper in the areas of your life when you trust God to do what only God can do, because that's what God has set up, the principle of sowing and reaping. Now, why is that? Because God wants to teach every single one of us to become a giver, and you can't become like God unless you learn to be generous. Did you know that the average person that gives their life to Christ, it takes them 4 years before they ever discover the principle of being a generous, giving person? 4 years in their walk. 4 years you missed out on the miracle of more. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he," what? What's that next word? He gave, and he wants us to become like him. He wants us to be able to give and be like him. And what's absolutely amazing is the reaping back more than what you ever sow. God says, you give me whatever it is that you need, and I'll watch me multiply it so much that it will blow your mind. Because it tells us in the scripture in Mark's gospel, chapter 10 and verse 27, that all things are possible with God. Say all. All things are possible with God. God likes to do miracles through his people. Yes, he could have rained down the bread from him. He could have gave them all kinds of quail as he did the children of Israel. But he worked through a little boy's lunch and through his disciples to pass it out. You know, I believe this is where a lot of people today that are Christians and coming to faith in Christ, what we often do, we wait for God to do for us. What we wait for God to do for us, God is waiting to do through us. You see that? We're waiting on God to do it. He said, wait, I'm wanting to do it through you. And maybe you're here for your very first time. You've seen the signs out here, a friend invited you or whatever. You could have not picked a better time to be in this atmosphere of Kairos Church than today. And it's not just about what God can do. And people say, well, that's that prosperity gospel. No, it's the principle of God's holy word. So as we come to the time of ending here, this is what I know about this story here. When Brent called me, I already knew, and God had it on my heart immediately what I was going to share. This story is appropriate for the Kairos Church because it's time for a miracle in the history of Kairos Church. Are you with me today? It's time for a miracle. That's why your pastor has kicked off this campaign, that you would risk it for a risk it. And I'm saying you're going to risk it for some fish and loaves, all right? That's what you're going to do. And it involves the entire church family. Now, here's what I want to say to you. What's going to happen in the coming days? Even if you're first-time guests and you'll jump in and be part of it. The purpose of this is that you're going to grow to spiritual maturity. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? It's about building you up as disciples of Christ, and more than it is about this building. I can tell you that right now. Through these days of prayer, and hopefully you'll be fasting about what your part is, and through this message series, Pastor Brent is going to challenge you to become mature in your giving. That's what he's going to challenge you to do. Something else it's going to do, it's going to help and deepen your fellowship with your church family. You've never had an opportunity to become more unified in something that's going to change this community and beyond than right now. It's something that you can get on board with, and you're going to see God do so much through this. But also, it's going to help you find a place in ministry. Listen, God has given you great talents and abilities to do great things. Don't be a misfit. You say, well, now he's talking about us. No, don't miss where you fit at in this ministry. God has got something incredible for you to do in this ministry. But also, you're going to celebrate by worshiping God and celebrating and being thankful for what God is doing, because Kairos is becoming an icon in this community. You don't even realize it, but it's on the breath of people, and they're talking about it and what God is doing in and through this ministry. But ultimately, the purpose of it is to challenge you to give sacrificially. By having a commitment day on Sunday, August 16th, when you're going to bring a first fruit offering and you're going to make a one-year commitment, I want to challenge you to give till it hurts. You say, well, man, that's a lot for you to say. You don't have my circumstances. Oh, yeah, I've got circumstances too. Trust me. See, when you give in what you think you can do, God's not in that. I remember our first building campaign. Shannon, my wife, and I were praying about it. We had three little girls. How many of you got girls here? Okay, a lot more expensive than boys. Can you say amen? We were praying to what to give above our regular tithes. What are we going to do here? You know, speed of the team, speed of the leader. I mean, how can I ask somebody to sacrifice? I'm not willing to sacrifice, right? So we were praying. And, I mean, just a modest salary now, okay? This has been way back in 2004. We just had a modest salary as a pastor. She didn't work. She's a stay-at-home professional mom. Big shoes to fill. I couldn't do it. Taking care of three girls and me leading a church and we prayed and we came up with the same number of like, I think back then it was 20 grand above in a two-year commitment. 20 grand. You're thinking, you are crazy. Yeah, I am. I'm crazy in love with Jesus. So we make this commitment. And then after that, I get a phone call from our national missions director after we made the commitment, not knowing how we're going to do it. And he said, I'm willing to pay you because you guys have started Freedom Church and it's been bigger, better, and faster than any church we've ever done. I want to pay you, I think it's like $1,100 a month to be our new church startup coach. And I can take you within 100 yards of where I was on the interstate the moment that Ron Bird called me. I'll never forget it. And we both cried. Of course, he knew it was God of the miracle of more, because I didn't have it. We didn't have it. We didn't have it in our checking account. But see, when you admit that you got a need and you assess what you've got and you give whatever you have to God, you just expect God to multiply it and trust him, and he'll do it. That's my God. And I've seen him do it time and time and time again in my life. See, our church, like Kairos Church, needs a place to go. We needed a place to go then. We didn't need to be in no school. How many of you want to go back to school and set up and tear down? Raise your hand. Anybody want to do that? I don't see any takers. These are exciting days, and you're going to grow like never before. And you got to let God stretch you. What can you expect during this time? What's going to be rising during this time? Listen, I believe there's going to be people that's going to see miracles here. There's going to be people that's going to get, you're going to get promotions. You're going to have a stronger marriage. Maybe those of you single, you're going to meet that significant other. Maybe you're going to get some kind of unexpected income again. Or maybe you're going to get some kind of health healed in your life. But also, I believe you're going to grow spiritually. You're going to get closer to Jesus than you ever have, because, and through this challenge, you're growing deeper in your commitment to Christ. Yes, it's tough times we're living in, but also it's exciting times that we're living in this time. And I'm going to be gut level honest with you. Listen, if you aren't interested in spiritual growth, then you're always going to be uncomfortable here with your pastor, because he's going to challenge you to be growing spiritually. I just want you to know that. If you don't want to be challenged and you don't want to be stretched, it's your loss. They're not pulling any punches about what God is going to do. This is not a club. This is not a social gathering. This is a church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, to go out and chase this world with water pistols and be able to chase hell with water pistols and get people saved in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what this church is about. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get hassled by Satan. You say, well, I don't want to get hassled by him. Anytime you go after him, you can count on it. When people get serious about growing spiritually, when people get serious about their church, Satan does not want you to be part of the miracle of more. Listen, you may have car trouble. You may end up getting laid off. You may have trouble in your marriage, or you may need to go to the doctor or go to the hospital. Anything to get you distracted, to rob you of the blessing. And you know what? That's what Satan wants to do, to get you to focus on the problem. And let me tell you what you can do with Satan. You can tell Satan to go to hell. He's the only one you can tell that to, okay? You just tell him, go back to hell. I'm not going to listen to you. I want the miracle of more. Say miracle of more. Ultimately, you're going to experience joy like never before. Just like this little boy who said yes to Jesus with his lunch. Whatever it takes, that's the attitude that you have. It is the miracle of more, and I want to experience that. But there's going to be three kinds of reaction. There's going to be those of you that's going to be a part no matter what. You're going to grow. You're going to give no matter what, because that's who you are. You're growing spiritually in the Lord, and you want it. And you say, here it is, Lord. Some of you are not going to grow, and some of you are not going to give. No matter what happens, the church is not going to wait on you. They're not going to love you any less, but they're not going to wait on you. You know why? You know why people are like that? Because they're in personal pain. So what do you mean? People that are in personal pain, you minister them and you help them. I just know that when I'm in personal pain and you're in pain, we're pretty selfish. Would you agree with that? We all are. But if you don't want to be part of this campaign, please don't bash it. Don't send out things on social media. That's okay. It's your loss. Like I said a moment ago, you won't be loved any less. But don't rob the rest of everybody else of the joy of what God is going to do through this campaign. There's those of you, though, that I believe is going to catch the vision. You're going to grab it wholeheartedly because you want to be a part of what God is doing at Kairos. You want to be a history maker. You want to be a legacy leaver. You want to be one that's going to leave something for the future generations because of your sacrifice now and making an impact later. And I'm going to tell you something, how much that my church family believes in what God is doing here. My church family believes in you so much, we're giving the first $5,000 to this church for this campaign, okay? The first $5,000. Right here, and I'm giving this to Brent and Christine. So now you just got $45,000 to go, and I believe if you will look for the miracle of more, God's going to do it through this church family. I believe that with all of my heart. See, there's an American way of life. It's about having power. It's about prestige. It's about possessions. So let me, I just want you as I close, I want you to pray about your offering, your first fruits offering. And I want you to pray about your one-year commitment. But here's the question I want you to always ask yourself that I always ask myself. Ask yourself this question. Who will be in heaven because of me? Who will be in heaven because of me? And when you do that and you live with that, and I live with that my whole life, I've lived with that since we started our church. And it gives me an eternal perspective that one day I'm going to check out, but I know where I'm going to check in. And that's all that matters. Which there's a lot of people out here that's going to check out, and they have no idea where they're going to check in. And that's where God uses the local church for the heartbeat of heaven and evangelism to reach people to know him. Would you pray with me? As we close and we're going into a time of prayer, I want to ask you to pray in your life a couple of things. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, as we come to you, we're thankful for this opportunity, God, to be able to be in your presence, in your church. God, here today, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just bless each one here, God, in this moment. As we continue to pray, I want you to pray to God and first and foremost say, God, help me to grow spiritually in my giving. To be like you, God. Just do that right now. Say, God, help me to grow spiritually in my giving like you are, God. He gave us all he had, his only son. And then I want to ask you to pray, God, give our church family a miracle, and I pray for that miracle through myself. give our church family a miracle, and I pray that you'll do a miracle through myself. Father, I pray, God, for each of these prayers that's being lifted to the throne room of heaven today. I pray for a guest that may be here, God, that they'll see the value of getting on board with something that you can invest in. It's not only now, but it's eternal. I pray in the name of Jesus that you bless them to be a part of this amazing church family. I pray, God, for a miracle, God, for each one. I pray, God, for those that may be hurting here in whatever facet of their life, that you would bless them, God, today. As we continue to pray, Jesus Christ gave his life for you. The greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I just want to ask you right now, as a stillness of this time, as we continue to pray, how many of you here know beyond a shadow of a doubt when you check out you're going to heaven? Just lift your hand real high. I know I'm going to heaven when I check out. Praise God. Those of you, if you couldn't lift your hand right now, God wants to do something amazing in your heart. The power of his conviction is setting on this place. I feel this presence here. Listen, you're not here today, friend, by chance. You came here today on July 19th, year 2020, because the Lord gave his life for you. And as he gave his life for you, you can feel him knocking on your heart saying, I want to do life with you every day. I want to spend not only this life with you, I want to spend eternity with you. So as he's knocking on your heart and you feel that weight, that conviction, tell him right now and just invite him in your heart and just say, you know, God, I don't really understand everything, but I believe it's you, and I want to invite you in my heart today. Lord, as you come in my heart, just tell him there's going to be things that I've never told anybody or things I've done wrong or people I've hurt and places I've been, just simple sin that I've done that cost you your life. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Just tell him, please forgive me, Lord, for doing the things I've done wrong. Please forgive me of those sins. Now tell him, say, Lord, I want you to save me. I need you in my life. I want to experience your love, your peace, your joy, your purpose, the happiness of the Holy Spirit in my life. Save me, Lord. I give my life to you. Now, if you felt that peace come into your heart and soul, that is the peace that passes all understanding that no words can recite. Thank him right now, the Lord, and he's going to give you the power of his Spirit to walk with you out here today. Listen, in the world, you might feel like you're the minority, but with God, you're going to be the majority. Be sure you go and let Pastor Brent know that you've given your life to him. Father, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the miracle more, and we give you praise. And everybody shouts, amen. God bless you, Kairos.